This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us, and it's good to be able to welcome our next guest onto the podcast, and I absolutely loved my chat with her. She lives in Chicago in Illinois, but originally from Sydney in Australia, so a bit of a dual citizenship episode of the podcast today. I'm talking about Fiona Carlin. A great story as well, and I think you are thoroughly going to enjoy our chat. Also, just a quick heads up, I mentioned it on the podcast a while ago, and I've been working really hard at something outside of the Kona Edge with regards to sort of getting myself out of my traditional day job. And if you have a business, and I know there are a lot of triathlon coaches that listen to the podcast and a lot of self-employed people, if you have a business and you need some help sort of growing your business online, particularly using Facebook ads, I'd love to chat to you. I've got space for a couple more clients, and let's see if we are a fit. I don't take everyone on board, but there are specific businesses and specific criteria that I work within. And if you are looking for help, I would love to chat to you and see how we can help you grow your business. You can pop me a mail, brad@thekonaedge.com. That's how you can get hold of me, and I look forward to hearing from you. Enough about me yakking, though. Let's get into some triathlon chats here on today's episode of the Kona Edge. Coach in the spotlight is Coach Stephen Brands and Next Level Triathlon. They've proved their results year after year. Steve has personally guided athletes to an ITU Age Group World Championship, Ironman Hawaii, and has qualified over 20 athletes to the 70.3 World Championships. Steve isn't your traditional multi-sport coach. He's a full-time endurance coach who works with athletes remotely as well as athletes in a DTE in Madison, Wisconsin. Steve is also one of a few coaches in the USA High Performance Mentorship Coaching Program, where he gets to work with the select high-performance athletes in the USAT CRP program. In 2015, Steve was selected to run a week-long Cam Tri Camp in Trinidad and Grenada, where he was responsible for working with their top athletes, as well as educating their coaches on proper racing, training, and season preparation. Some of Steve's athletes have won an ITU Age Group World Championship, won multiple USAT Age Group National Championships, won USAT Duathlon National Championships, podiumed at the 2016 Ironman World Championships, have run sub-3-hour marathon during the Ironman, and qualified athletes to Ironman and 70.3 World Championships. If you'd like to find out more about Steve and Next Level Triathlon, all you need to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching or click through to nextleveltriathlon.org. All the details on that website, okay, that's thekonaedge.com/coaching. And if you are a coach or have a coaching business and you'd like to be featured here on the Kona Edge, all you need to do is head over to that exact webpage. It's thekonaedge.com/coaching. We head to Chicago, Illinois now here on the Kona Edge, and we're joined by Fiona Carlin. Fiona, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Fiona, that little bit of thank you so much for having me is not an American accent. That's an Australian accent. You've been transplanted into Illinois. Tell me how that happened.
I have. I moved over here with my boyfriend at the time, who is now my husband, so it all worked out. About 7 years ago, he got a job opportunity over here, and we just decided it was a good kind of lifestyle change for us. Australia is a great place to live, but it's just really expensive. So over here, we're able to do more things with our free time, and it's been a great move. So I'm enjoying it.
I didn't actually have a proper look. Are you racing under the Australian flag, or are you racing under the US flag?
You know, that's an interesting thing. I started off racing under the Australian flag. I'm a dual citizen, so I bat for both teams. I switched over to the US recently. I think last year I switched to the US just because I'm primarily doing American races, and I feel like less of a foreigner in that way. That said, if I was to go over and do like Ironman Australia, I'd probably just switch it. I wish there was an option to select both.
I love that. Fiona, let's talk about sort of how you got into the sport of triathlon. Did it start in Australia, or is this a US thing?
It is a US thing, actually, which is kind of weird, because Chicago is not necessarily, you know, the ideal setting to start swim, bike, run. So I swam competitively in high school. So I had a swim background from Australia. I did a lot of surf swimming as well, so I'm quite comfortable in open water. And I gave all that up when I finished high school. When I moved, I didn't do any triathlons in Australia. I just actually really didn't do any endurance sport at all until I was 26. I'm 32 now, so I was, I guess, a late starter. And then when I moved to the US, I kind of got hooked on marathon running. Chicago's a fantastic place for running, and I just saw all these people out there running marathons and thought, wow, I want to, like, have a go at that and see if I could, you know, have the discipline to train and push myself through it. And I got really on the marathon bandwagon. I did, like, 10 marathons in 2 years or something ridiculous. And then my husband sort of convinced me to try a triathlon because it just looked fun, and all I needed to do was, you know, build up the bike. And then I just sort of started from there. I did my first one, and I totally loved it. And I was like, why was I not doing this years ago? So I just was really passionate about it. I enjoy the training, I enjoy the racing. And I just switched completely over into triathlons pretty much immediately.
And did you go for the long stuff straight away, or was it a slow build-up?
So it was kind of like a mishap of weird events. I started doing my first triathlon here in the US was the Chicago Triathlon, because it's literally starts about 800 meters from my house, and it seemed like an easy start. And then I decided kind of randomly that I wanted to do Ironman Cozumel for my 30th birthday. And I hadn't done a half Ironman, and I'd done very few Olympics, and my longest bike ride was 50 miles. But I just wanted to, like, try this Ironman and see if I could do it. And at the time, even as I was training for it, I was trying to focus on a marathon instead. So I was kind of just doing it as a, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime sort of opportunity. And then when I did it, I just got hooked on, like, the long-distance type racing. And then I started doing a lot more, like, halves and fulls. So now mainly I do half iron and full. I do Olympics. I guess, you know, I do whatever I can fit in, to be honest. I'm not a big fan of the sprint distance. To me, that's it's too much transitions too early in the morning to sort of, like, bolt through. I'm a little bit too slow twitch for that. But, yeah, now I pretty much do all, but I focus on half and full.
Were you good at it from the start, or is it something you've grown into?
I mean, that's an uncomfortable question, Brad. I would say, so I did pretty well. My first triathlon being Chicago Triathlon, I finished second in my age group. I for most of the triathlons I've done, I was on the podium from the very start. You know, I had a really strong swim background and run background, so it's just been filling the bike and sort of getting that training up to scratch that's been, like, the challenge for me. But, yeah, like, my first triathlon, I qualified for age group nationals, and then at age group nationals I qualified for ITU. I got off to a good start with it. My first half Ironman, I qualified for the world championships that was in Australia at the time. I had some pretty early success, I suppose, without sounding completely up my
mouth. Apologies for that sort of straight out there question, but I mean, you get to the point where, I mean, you're speaking to people who have raced on the Big Island, you are good, whether you want to admit it or not. You are in the top sort of percentile of the sport. What's been your biggest struggle, Fiona? I mean, has it come easy to you, or has it been a slog?
Biggest struggle. That's a good question. I guess I would say there's been two sort of struggles. One has been the bike training. I underestimated how much work there would be to really building bike efficiency and bike strength. I wish I had started a long time ago. It just, you know, having a really I have a very strong swim background from years of swimming and years of running that I can just use. But for me, with a bike, I just have to put in so much time and so much work. And I really did not think it would be as difficult as it is. I mean, you get to sit down the whole time. It looks like it's the easy fun sport, but it's not, you know, and developing power, it's very different to, you know, running and swimming, where a lot of it is just, I feel, just sheer cardio. There's a real strength element with the bike. So biking is a constant struggle for me, and just getting that really up to scratch. So that would probably be the biggest struggle, I suppose. The other thing I would say is just, you know, fitting it all in is definitely a lifestyle adjustment. I've had to, not just for me, but you know, your family, friends, yeah, your employer. So fitting that all in is definitely a challenge. But it works.
We'll touch on the juggling of life around triathlon in a moment as well. But you raised an interesting point there, coming from a fairly competitive swimming background and having run for a long time too. You almost, when you've been around a sport for a long time, you forget what it was like when you started. And then getting into a sport like triathlon, where you have to pick up another sport that you might not necessarily have been around for that long, is that the thing that surprised you most? Was at the sort of frustration that you wanted it to happen quicker than what it did?
Yes, absolutely. You know, in a few of my first triathlons, I would be riding the bike and I'd be overpassed by people who were like in their 70s, people who were overweight, people with, you know, missing limbs were overtaking me. And I was like, how is this happening? You know, I feel fit. You know, I'm a great runner. How is this not translating? And it's just very different. I mean, the three sports are very different, and I'm sure that, you know, people have a weak swim or, you know, would say a similar thing, about their sport, but definitely, it's hard when you're used to being, you know, without sounding like a brat, but when you're used to being good at something and all of a sudden you're not, and you have to just really work from scratch. That's challenging. It's also probably really good for you as a person to develop in that way. And honestly, I guess for me, even though it is one of the biggest challenges, it's one of the things that sort of keeps me there as well, because it is, when those gains do happen, it does mean a lot, and it just, you know, proves that you really can get anywhere if you just work hard enough. All of this stuff with triathlon, you know, none of it's rocket science. It's really just, you know, in my experience anyway, just doing the work over time consistently, you know, is how you get results. So it's just about putting the time in.
Absolutely. And it's patience. And it's the same thing that happens when you're injured, or someone is injured and they come with a mindset that they've been around it for so long and they want to get back to where they were before they got injured, and they try and force the issue. And that's, again, it's a patience thing. You just got to back off and follow the process.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let's talk about the juggle, life and family life and work and the sport. How do you keep everything in check?
Yeah, so things got a lot better for me once I kind of understood what was involved with triathlon, and I was able to sort of make some better decisions with my life about how to fit it all in. I am very fortunate in that I work from home 2 or 3 days a week, which gives me a lot of flexibility to, you know, I can finish my run at 8:55 and still be at my 9 a.m. meeting. You know, I don't have to have showered for it. That sort of flexibility helps me a ton. My husband is extremely supportive. I think, you know, having someone in your life who understands, you know, the grind and how much effort and work goes in is really, really important in helping you balance everything. You know, I don't get any pressure to, you know, get back from my run from a certain time or back from my bike ride for a certain time. You know, I'm really able to create, you know, carve out time in my personal life to sort of fit it in. I would say, you know, with juggling, for me, like, the most important thing has been really just setting priorities with everything in life and deciding where triathlon fits and then just sticking to that. For me, I put it up pretty high. To be perfectly honest, I prioritize it as much as I prioritize my job, if not even more. I know a lot of people probably wouldn't say that, but for me, that is a reality. So, you know, I'm not trying to climb the corporate ladder at work. I'm going through the motions. I do my job, but I'm not doing those extra things that are going to try and make me the top of like the corporate ladder. I just know where I need to be at work, and that's what I'm aiming for. I'm not trying to make a ton of new friends. I'm not trying to, you know, do other sports or other activities. I'm just like dedicating my spare time to triathlons. And then if I'm not training, getting, you know, enough rest or whatever. For me, like what was really helpful in juggling was really just sitting down with myself and saying, okay, what, this is what you want to do. How important is it versus the other things in your life? And then kind of making like a list and working out how that will happen. I think, you know, for a lot of people, there's just so many things going on. And until you really think about what's important and what's not, it feels like it's just this mess that, you know, you can't balance and there's guilt. But really prioritizing things has helped me a lot with making things work. And, you know, I'm very fortunate. I probably work 40 hours a week. I know a lot of people make this work with much greater schedules. You know, I don't have kids. I have it pretty easy. So, yeah, does that answer the question?
Yeah, it absolutely does. The work situation is quite interesting, Fiona. And you mentioned that you work a couple of days a week from home. Was that a conscious, has that just happened? Or was it something that you sat down and said, hey, maybe this is an option. I'm going to go to my employer and ask, is this possible? And the reason I ask that is because I'm in a similar situation where I've moved cross country because I wanted to be in a place close to the ocean, close to the mountains, and went to my employer and said, hey, listen, this is what I want to do. Can we make it happen? And a lot of people don't realize that employers are quite open to different options.
Yeah. So I ended up changing jobs to a job where I could work from home, and it was 100% the reason I took the job. To me, being able to work from home is more important than what I actually do when I'm at work, because that freedom allows me to do things with my life that I want to do, like triathlons. I have always, though, in every job I have, I've always been very aggressive about the fact that I want a lunch break and to work out in, and I always take that time. And I have always found that employers are pretty understanding of the fact that maybe you need 1 hour and 20 minutes for lunch rather than an hour to do a workout. They're not going to fire you if you do, you know, if you do your job well. What's in it? Like the 20 minutes, what does that really mean? You know, you can add it on at the end of the day. You should be just doing your job. So I have found really with employers, if you just say this is how it is, most of them are willing to give you a bit of time, especially if it doesn't mean having to give you more money. You know, a little bit of flexibility if it makes you happy, then you know, I've always pushed for those things. And why not? You may as well. I mean, they can say no, but you may as well try because it can make a massive difference to you. And you don't know that you're not that it's not possible for you to do something unless you try. So, yeah, I would definitely suggest anyone who's in that position to just ask your employer. They can say no or they might say yes.
No, absolutely. Fiona, what line of work are you in?
I do marketing and business development for legal.
Okay, cool. And let's talk a little bit about the sort of dream of Kona. When did, I mean, there's one thing being in the sport of triathlon and doing the long stuff. When did Kona first get on your radar?
Yeah, I think I always knew about Kona. And as soon as I found it was something that you had to qualify for, I kind of wanted to do it because that's kind of how it is, isn't it? You want to get into that little crowd of people that gets to go to the special thing. So I kind of had it as a goal in my head. My first Ironman was Ironman Cozumel in 2015, and I came sixth that year. I think I did 11:35, and I remember just thinking, I think, you know, I can do better and I can try and qualify for Kona next year. So after that race, I really spent a year working on qualifying for Kona. Just, you know, really building up my bike training. And for me, just doing the training, getting in more miles, because I was kind of new to especially the bike riding, but triathlons in general, really helped me get that together. And then I qualified at Florida in 2016, which was my first Kona. So that was my first qualifying for Kona. So I came third in my age group that year, and it actually rolled to me, which was pretty cool. And then I did Kona for the first time last year in 2017, and then qualified again in Cozumel last year in 2017. So, Yeah, I mean, Kona for me, it's definitely a privilege more than a goal. I think it's a fantastic opportunity if you get it. It's not something I go into races really aiming for. I think it's I don't like it really as a personal aim because it's so dependent on how other people do, and I think that just puts pressure on things. You know, I think you just have to focus on yourself, and especially, I mean, I'm female, 30 to 34. There's only ever one spot. So, you know, saying to myself, I have to win every race is a little unhealthy, I think, mentally. But if I do get in, I'm always going to go. I think it's very challenging. The training for it is very challenging. The race itself is very challenging. But it's such an amazing experience.
The timing is pretty fortuitous for you being in Chicago, with it being in the part of the year that it is. It means you don't have to really put in hard training over winter. How do you deal with training in Chicago in the middle of January?
That's rough. It's pretty rough. So for me, so I typically have a late season race, and then I take December pretty much off. And then I get back into things in December. In January. So January is not like a huge month for me, which helps things out. I have a bike trainer at home. I have the Waikiki Kicker that I ride. I ride with a group with my team that I train with a few days a week, Compu Trainer Studio. So we do interval rides together, and that's really nice to have the company. I run outside all year. I'm not really bothered by running in the snow or cold. I absolutely hate the treadmill, so I will run in like the worst conditions to avoid having to run on the treadmill. And then swimming, you know, we just swim indoors. So it's challenging. If I do a spring race, I always feel that I'm not at all prepared for the heat, and I don't have any real road miles behind me. But that's just what it is. But, you know, you can build a lot of strength training inside. So, I think that the trainer miles and interval rides really help me when it comes to later on in the season.
It's, as I'm recording this, just over a week since Ironman Texas, and I'll probably be lynched if I don't ask the question. What's your take on drafting?
Okay, well, as someone who is a strong swimmer and weak biker, I come out of the swim and I get passed for the entire race. I never have an opportunity to draft myself. So I'm not a big fan of drafting, obviously. I think it's unfortunate. I think, well, two things. One, I think that in a lot of these courses where we have not a lot of open road, or perhaps the cyclists are on one side and there's cars on the other side, drafting is just happening because there's no option for the athletes. Sectional drafting, I think that is a big issue in a lot of races as it is. I think that is a problem. And then, yeah, it's really sad to see. I've seen quite a few races, literally like trains of people drafting Peloton style through the race. And I don't know how it is that people aren't getting picked up for this. I feel like if it were me, someone would blow the whistle. I mean, I've never had a drafting penalty, as I said, because I just get passed all the time. But, I think it's really sad. It takes away from people who've worked hard. I think that there needs to be more done to manage courses a little bit better, so that a lot of the unintentional drafting isn't happening. And then just, I don't know, more hard line on people who are really intentionally drafting, because, it's just unfortunate for people for athletes who put their work in and have it sort of stolen away by people who just don't have any respect for the rules.
Yeah, it is such a tough one. You know, I agree with you. I think a lot of it is unintentional, and it's just a factor of what's going on in the sport, the growth of the sport globally. If you look at the organization Ironman as a business as well, at the end of the day, they're in it to make a profit. Whether we like it or not, we love the sport, but that's what their function is. And the more people they can get in a race at the end of the day, the more money they can make. And whether they keep piling people into races, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It is what it is. There's not much we can do about it as athletes. But I think all we can control is making the conscious decision not to draft.
Right, exactly. And I do think, unintentional drafting is a huge problem. And sorry, I shouldn't say unintentional. I just mean non-deliberate drafting. you know, in courses where people are just packed in, and, you know, you see all these really fast bike splits, and then you see people who are literally not meaning to draft, but, you know, they're trying to pass people and we only have one lane open to us. So, yeah, I think that as the sport grows, it's just, it's a growing pain, I think, at least on the unintentional side, that is just going to have to be addressed eventually. And hopefully it can be done in a way that, that still allows us to all race and have fun and be safe.
Absolutely. And I think things like the 70.3 World Championships, as an example, where they're having the ladies race on its own day and the men's race on its own day, goes a long way to doing that.
That was fantastic. I did Chattanooga last year, and I have to say, I don't like criticism of, oh, it's always guys, packs of guys out there drafting and guys are all assholes and whatnot, because there are a lot of men that do not do that. But to do a women's race and only have women on the course, it felt a lot more fair, you know, not feeling like, you know, as a female athlete who's kind of at the stronger end, it's nice to feel like you are at the front of the pack rather than in the middle, which is, I guess, the feeling that a lot of female athletes have when they're packed in with age group men. I thought it was just a really nice idea to have, you know, the race broken up between 2 days like that. Being able to spectate both sides was awesome as well. So I think that is a great possible solution.
Absolutely, and I think it's great that the ladies get their own race and get the spotlight, as is well deserved. I think often they get shunted to a secondary event at a race, and we don't get to see how good some of the athletes are, which is a pity. What's left still for you to achieve in the sport? I mean, you're still fairly young, as you say, you're in your early 30s. How long are you planning on being around triathlon, and what do you still want to achieve?
I'm planning to be around forever. I'm not going anywhere, so don't worry. I have a lot of goals. I'm trying to work them through right now. So, you know, last year I finished first in my age group at 70.3 World Championships. I would love to at least be in the top three this year in Chattanooga. Sorry, not in Chattanooga, in South Africa. So that is definitely a goal. Last year at Kona, I finished 12th. I crashed my bike, which I think probably knocked me out of the top 10. You know, I would love to try get into the top 5 at Kona this year. So that is a goal. I feel like I still have a lot of low-hanging fruit that I can pick on the bike just for more training and more time. So I'm just really trying to see where I can go with it, have a great few years. You know, I don't think I did qualified, you know, race professionally this year. I chose not to. I don't really see myself doing that next year either. I think, you know, the amateur field is so competitive, to be honest, but, you know, it's not like I'm going to races and feel like there's no competition. So I'm really just hoping to just, I guess, improve as much as I can and do a little bit better at those two, well, maintain where I'm at the 70.3 level and maybe just get my Ironman a little bit further up to scratch so I can maybe crack into a top 5 at Kona at some point.
What advice would you give to somebody who's just starting out in the sport, who's thinking of taking on triathlon, the challenge of triathlon, and maybe thinking down the road they'd like to do an Ironman? What advice would you give them? What are some of the things that you've learnt in your journey?
Yeah, sure. So I'd say, first off, again, like what we're saying about priorities, like work out, you know, a schedule, how much time you realistically have to train and how you're going to divide that all out. And, you know, write it down, create a spreadsheet, especially Ironman training. You know, it can be very overwhelming thinking I have to do, you know, 12, 15, whatever hours a week. Really plan that and work out how you're going to make it work, because that will take a lot of your stress away. From a training perspective, you know, I would say the most important thing for me has been being consistent and not excessive over time. So just doing the work, do your training, do what your coach tells you to do most of the time. You know, you don't need to do really crazy, excessive workouts. It's really more about what you're doing over time. So come up with something, a plan that's sustainable, and just keep sort of going at it. you know, I think that there's a lot of people out there who kind of, you know, overdo things and then they end up taking time off because they're sick or injured or burnt out or, you know, what they were doing wasn't sustainable. So pick something that you really think you can do with your lifestyle. You know, and don't be afraid to start low. I mean, when I was training for my first Ironman, I was doing 3 bike rides a week. I was absolutely exhausted just getting through maybe, you know, 12 hours of training a week. And now I can do, you know, 20 with intensity. And but that's something I built up to. So, you know, understanding that you have to start, you know, you're climbing a hill. Triathlon's like climbing a hill. So we start at the bottom. You don't try to jump up to the top. You know, you take little steps and that's how you get there. I think that triathlon is far more about hard work and discipline and just putting in the time than it is about talent. So I would just say, just if you really want something, just keep working at it and you will eventually get there.
What's the biggest life lesson that triathlon and Ironman has taught you?
I think, again, I know I keep saying this over and over again in this call, but like it forced me, because of the lack of time, you know, that I had in the rest of my life, it really forced me to prioritize personal relationships, you know, spending a lot of time out on the bike. I have less time to spend with people. So it's really helped me pick pick the people that are most important to me and how I want to, you know, spend time with people. I think it has taught me a lot about myself. I think that, you know, on these really long rides and long runs, often alone in the middle of the summer heat, you know, you can go to a pretty dark place. So as you try to push yourself through, I've learned a lot about myself and my own weaknesses and strengths. I think that triathlon for me has been a bit of a personal growth experience, as I really got to sort of know myself a little bit better out there. And I think, you know, the wonderful thing about it is it really does show that you really can do, your body can do pretty much anything if your mind will get on board with you and come along. So that's been a really powerful tool to take, you know, into other aspects of life, knowing that, you know, if you really do set your mind to something and you can push through, you know, discomfort and pain and boredom and whatnot, that you can take that and use that in other areas of your life. And that's a really powerful feeling.
I love that. I think that is some sound advice. Fiona, thank you so much for your time today on the Code Edge. I look forward to talking a little bit about the individual disciplines, but we'll save that for next time. Thanks for your time on the Code Edge today.
Yeah, no worries at all. Thanks for having me.
And that's it for this edition of the Code Edge. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you too to Fiona for sharing her story with us, and look forward to chatting next week a little bit about her Ironman swim and some of the things she's done to get better in the water. Until next time, from myself, Brad Brown, don't forget, if you do need some help growing your business and you'd like to chat about Facebook ads and how I could possibly help you grow your business online, please do pop me a mail, brad@thekonaedge.com. That's my email address. Until tomorrow, it's cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for The Kona Edge.